And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Did he just say Bobby's Tire and Auto? I think I heard that right. Anyway, well, somebody's trying to call. I better do my duty and answer that phone call, right? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan. Thank you for taking my call.
I have
a granddaughter who is 20.
Would you believe me if I told you you're the first one in today?
Oh, I heard you say that on the radio.
I've been waiting for you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I have a 20-year-old granddaughter who has hidradenitis suppurativa, however you say that. She has a enlarged gland or follicle, whatever, on her inner thigh, and it's giving her a lot of pain right now. She says it's like golf ball size.
How close is it to the female reproductive area?
I'm sure it's close. She didn't tell me how close, but it's high enough she doesn't shave there.
Do you think it's more in the crease of the thigh where your leg joins the hip?
Probably so. She's been running lately, and she's had a Bartholin gland just surgery before.
Oh, okay. And so that was removed some time ago, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
She's been doing hot compresses and whatever. Other than going somewhere and have her punctured and drained, is there anything else we can do for her?
Well, I mean, I'd give you some ideas. You can't take what I'm saying like I'm the all-knowing authority, but at least we can try something to see if it helps turn the tide in her favor. One thing that I would have her do, and of course I see this stuff all the time in large stores and health food stores, but it's called Indian Healing Clay. And that's going to be a combination of volcanic ash, kaolin clay, bentonite clay. And clays have this very interesting magnetic ability to draw out things that generate problems. And so all she has to do is just make a mud pack out of it. She's got several choices. She could use spring water, distilled water. She could use apple cider vinegar. Those would be the liquid solutions that you would add to the dry powder to make kind of this thick mud paste.
I have some bentonite clay. Is that not going to do the trick?
No, you can try that. I would definitely try that. If you already have it in your possession, why go buy anything else? But you're adding just enough liquid to it to make this thick mud-like paste. Mm-hmm. And so if she can just apply it. Now, this is only my opinion, so you can take it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
But I think if she could find a place of privacy and apply a thick layer of mud to that area and then expose it to the sunlight, I think that has the best action of all time.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Sometimes I think of using a root or a rhizome spice or herb called ginger when you've got tremendous swelling in the lymphatic system and you're trying to move it out. Either that or horseradish, which when you look at them in the store, you know, they look kind of similar. Like, what is this stuff? Should I run it through a juicer and drink it? I want to share something with you this morning. I know I've shared this with you once before, but I think this is worth repeating. And I have many reasons behind this. But you know as well as I do, it is so, so difficult to turn the tide on a chronic disease when it's fully entrenched and it's got a grip on you and all your systems are starting to really suffer because of it. So let me give you several examples. Who wants to have a full-blown case of diabetes when you wake up and your blood sugar's 600 points? Well, nobody does. Because under those biochemical reactions, every system in your body begins to break down, from your muscles to your joints. The arteries and the veins become very, very stiff. I mean, you know as well as I do that when your arteries become stiff, your blood pressure goes up. You have more problems with your heart. You're more prone to dementia or cancer. That's just to name a few. I mean, I can't even really go into great detail, but let's just say it this way. It is not in your best interest to allow your body to completely break down. And then once it's completely broken down, then you decide you want to take action. I mean, yes, that's an option that you have. And you can do that. But the better job you do at taking care of yourself in you know, the here and the now, the better things are going to go. And so, I know this sounds crazy what I'm fixing to read to you, but they have just a very short article. The article is entitled Reconnect to the Earth by Karina Gordon. But let me read this to you, and you tell me what you think about it. And I'm just reading what Karina says. Throughout history, humans commonly slept on the ground. You got to think about Jacob, right? And they walked either barefoot or they had some type of rawhide or animal hide footwear. Just think Jesus with a leather sandal strung to his foot. So through this direct contact with the earth, or through perspiration-moistened animal skins used as footwear and sleeping mats, the ground's abundant reservoir of free electrons could permeate this electrically conductive body. So through this mechanism, commonly referred to as grounding or earthing, the body may equilibrate with the earth's electrical potential, thus stabilizing organs, tissues, glands, and cells. In the present day, grounding involves contact with the earth's surface electrons by walking barefoot outside or working and sleeping indoors connected to a conductive system which transfer the energy from the ground into the body, which I'm certain you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but if you were to go on a website called eBay or Amazon.com, they would sell these earthing sheets. Why couldn't I think of that? But they have silver wiring in them, and you plug them into the ground on the in the outlet, and all of a sudden all these electrons, they come into your body at night when you lay on this silver wire grid sheet that covers your mattress. And so let me get back to the article. The Earth's surface may be thought of as a massive battery pulsating with an invisible but virtually limitless supply of free electrons, constantly replenished by solar radiation, or if there's a thunderstorm and lightning strikes the Earth, and the Earth's own magnetic field, which is generated deep down in the molten core. Thus, when walking barefoot and sleeping on skin hides, the constant connection to the Earth's natural planetary charge creates a stable internal bioelectric environment for the normal functioning of all body systems. Now, over time, modern lifestyle changes have largely separated humans from this flow of the Earth's electrons. In fact, since the 1960s, insulating rubber or synthetically soled shoes, which are what modern shoes are, have been increasingly replacing what are called leather sole shoes. Remember those? Anybody here ever wear boots, cowboy boots? Well, they still make them with leather soles. And that allows these free electrons that are charged to come up through the leather, which is like an animal skin, right, into your body. So the relatively recent disconnection with the Earth's electron-rich surface may be a critically overlooked component in the dramatic rise of chronic illnesses, all these immune disorders, and all the inflammation that everybody's suffering with. Mounting evidence supports the premise that the Earth's electrons promote clinically significant physiological changes, including reduced pain, 2, improved sleep, 3, a shift from sympathetic to parasympathetic tone in the autonomic nervous system. That just means it helps you get out of the continual fight or flight or nervousness, where you're more chilled out and relaxed when your body can heal and repair. And also, this is what I find intriguing, earthing or grounding has been shown to have a very powerful blood thinning effect. But I like the sound of that, because it doesn't involve a drug. A recent study published in the Journal of Environmental and Public Health titled, Earthing health implications of reconnecting the human body to the Earth's surface electrons. They say that earthing could represent a potential treatment or solution to a variety of chronic degenerative conditions. So, disease interventions are right beneath our feet, and a simple and effective way to tap into the Earth's many healing properties is to walk barefoot on conductive surfaces such as sand. What if you're at the beach? Just walk on the sand barefoot. What if you don't have the beach? Well, if you have grass in your yard, minus the grass burrs, you've got that. Well, what if you don't have grass? Well, do you have dirt? And for some people, walking on concrete that hasn't been sealed, or if they have a brick floor or ceramic tile. Anyway, I said all that to say this right here. That's just my opener. But I want to read this to you right here, because please, you cannot outlive your kidneys. You can't do it. I see people that are young and they're in the throes of kidney failure. I see people that are probably, they're still young enough to have a good life and enjoy themselves and have a high quality existence, but their kidneys are failing them. Even if they're only 50, 60, maybe 70 years old. Let me read this to you. This comes from, Arjan Walila. This is adapted from Studies Show What Happens to the Human Body When We Walk Barefoot on the Earth. I know this is probably not impressive because it doesn't involve you spending $400 on a magic pill or a supplement, because this is free. So maybe when God set the foundations of the earth and he laid the cornerstone and he laid the basement down that the earth is attached to, maybe this was his plan all along. Well, obviously it was. Here's the article. Multidisciplinary research is increasingly demonstrating a positive and yet often overlooked environmental factor on health. That is direct physical contact with the electron-rich surface of the earth. According to one study published in the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, the electrically conductive connection of the human body to the ground plane represents a potential treatment for a variety of chronic degenerative diseases. Bear in mind, folks, this is free. The study concluded that grounding or sustained contact with the Earth's natural electrical charge could serve as a profoundly effective environmental strategy against chronic stress. And they're referring to the autonomic nervous system. And if you have inflammation or pain, poor sleep, if your blood is thick and dirty and prone to coagulating or clotting, you might want to consider this. Even if you have cardiovascular disease. And I'm quoting here, the research done to date supports the concept that grounding or earthing the human body may be an essential element in the health equation, along with sunshine, clean air, clean water, nutritious food, and physical activity or exercise. And here's the study right here. In the year 2013, which I realize that was 6 years ago, but just because it was 6 years ago doesn't mean they found it, any of the information changed. There was a landmark investigation that found that blood urea concentrations, if you don't know what that is, the next time you go to your doctor and they do like a physical or a lab test and they draw blood from your vein, most likely the vein that's right there at the inner fold of your elbow from the brachial artery, they'll probably do a test called BUN, or that stands for blood urea nitrogen. It is one of the most accurate markers of all time to give us some information about your kidneys. So as your blood urea nitrogen increases, that means, oh my word, kidneys aren't doing so hot. So in this 2013 study, they found that blood urea nitrogen concentrations are much lower in subjects who are grounded during physical exercise and recovery, which suggests a positive nitrogen balance. Researchers at the University of California, Irvine, They observed that grounding improves facial blood circulation regulation, which enhances skin tissue repair and improving overall appearance. So I don't want anybody to make any jokes about a person's face and they need to go outside and walk barefoot. Anyway, very, very interesting. If you'd like to join me with a question or comment, the phone line is open at 903-586-5257. I don't think I've given out the number today. 903-586-5257. Someone was just trying to call. If you'll just give me a call right back, I'll get you right in. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just came and saw you. This is Dave. I forgot to ask you a question, Dr. Morgan. Remember with the prostate problem?
Mm-hmm.
On that colloidal silver, you gave me a whole regimen, but on that colloidal silver, I didn't ask you like what parts per million or whatever I could, like for some kind of version of prostatitis I may have.
10.
What do I do? Like on parts per million or whatever that I could take as a, you know, to help fight that.
10.
Are you there?
Yes, 10. Can you hear me? 10 parts per million.
Okay, all right. And what is the? I was kind of researching it, and they gave you all kind of formulas on the amount. You know, the actual amount. I just take like a tablespoon under my tongue, just the way I have been doing. Or
yes, absolutely, that's just fine.
Okay,
that's perfectly fine. I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Yeah. I just wanted to. You know, I'm taking all these other antioxidants and everything else. You know, we're trying to work on this. And I just want to make sure, you know, I don't want any interactions or whatever, but that's what I'm doing.
That's the beauty of all this. When you combine, for example, if your wife puts a plate of food in front of you and there's like a salad with cucumbers, avocados, tomatoes, carrots, romaine lettuce, olive oil, and she cooks a chicken, and for dessert, you have a bowl of blueberries. That's the thing of it. There's no reactions. You're not going to go to the emergency room because you improperly combined a blueberry with a carrot. It's just not going to happen. But if you're talking about drugs, oh, my word, we can have a whole bunch of devastating reactions. I mean, every single day. People are rushed to the emergency room because they just took one dose of an antibiotic and their body swelled up like a hippo and then they're red all over. So I really don't think that you need to be even a little bit concerned about 10 parts per million of colloidal silver reacting with a blueberry. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
so I think you can just take a step back and have great confidence that God has done a splendid job, it's actually more than splendid, of putting things on the earth that are good for us. Now, if you're going to take pharmaceutical drugs, you need to be scared.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I appreciate something how the Lord puts all that right into the...
That's right.
Yeah, we don't need to worry.
No, you don't. And so if somebody digs up a dandelion, you know, come the end of February because they find one in the yard and they said, hey, I'm going to actually roast this and I'm going to pour hot water over it and drink it, you have no fear unless it's sprayed with Roundup.
Yeah, I know. That's where my mind is.
Really, and I know we're filled with so much fear of natural remedies, but that's just, it's ridiculous. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what I hear from people all day long. A lady told me this week, she said, she told me this, and I tried hard not to laugh. She said, the medical doctor looked at her and said, you are going to die if you take these nutritional remedies. They will kill you. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? How did you come to that conclusion? What makes you say that? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. I mean, I'm not saying there's not reactions to natural remedies, but I don't know that I've ever heard of one person give me some feedback and say, hey, Dr. Morgan, 10 parts per million of colloidal silver is devastating. Well, it is devastating to a staph infection or Klebsiella or E. coli, but not to healthy human cells. It won't hurt them at all.
No, because then I've used it. I mean, I've used
yes.
it before. And but because I'm, you know, obviously I'm taking. Actually, I guess it may even it may have a synergistic effect when taking all these antioxidants and everything. I mean, because you're attacking it from different angles.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. That was my question. I appreciate you, Dr.
You're Martin. Welcome. Thank you. You have a good weekend, buddy. Enjoy your day off.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I almost wish I had the article in front of me, but I do not. But I remember what it said. They said there's a novel approach for treating antibiotic-resistant infections. And so, for example, if somebody has a staph infection that doesn't respond to penicillin, they might add a little colloidal silver, and all of a sudden, bam, it responds to it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I guess we're going to make it.
Good. That's good.
And that's 99% of it right there.
You ain't kidding.
Well, let me comment real quick on your kidney stuff. You know, I just caught the biography of Spurgeon and have read and listened to several of his sermons, but I had no idea that he suffered from severe gout. Arthritis. And chronic kidney disease, died when he was 57.
Now, there's a man that had to have a superior attitude to be such a prolific sermon writer as he was.
Woo, because telling me.
You can't tell me that gout is not a big-time dose of pain and suffering. That's worst arthritis of all time.
I tell you, they say he had thousands of volumes in his library, that he'd read at least two books a day, and had authored over 100 books himself, worked 18 hours a day. And he was asked in his later years, 57 is really young, but the guy said, how do you do it, working 18 hours a day, putting out all this work that you do all by yourself? He said, well, but I'm not by myself. There's two of us. The Lord himself.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, let me tell you why I called here real quick. I know you've got a host of others that are looking for your wisdoms. You know, you've advised us several times, and I've always taken it to heart. But the one time I discarded your advice was you'd given me a formula for pain. I thought I had ruptured a tendon in my right leg four months ago. And you gave me olive oil, black pepper, and ginger.
Ginger, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not real fond of sloppy, and forgive me, I know...
Oh, that's sloppy, totally probably. Sloppy. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not real keen on topical stuff that's kind of messy. But so I discarded that advice, and it's one time that it really came back to bite me.
Well, how did... Oh, was that a play on words, ginger and bite in the same sentence?
Oh, man.
Well, what happened?
Well... 4 months ago, 2 weeks ago, I found out I have a herniated disc with pinched sciatic nerve.
Yeah, so sorry about
and
that.
I'll tell you what, I've always thought I was a high tolerance in pain, a manly man type of
well,
Christian.
That could weaken anybody, even Samson.
Well, I'll tell you, this thing turned me into a crying little boy with gray hair and a cane and riding around in an electric car at Walmart.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I'll tell you. So, anyway, my question is here. See, I overdosed a couple months ago on NSAIDs. I was I was eating ibuprofen and Aleve and Motrin and, like candy. And I found myself in a rut. If I didn't have the pain killers, I couldn't sleep because of the pain, which meant that, you know, you sleep maybe one or half an hour or 2 hours a day.
Oh, that's just misery.
And, boy, I tell you what. So, anyway, you know, it's catch 22. What do you do? And I'll tell you, on the back of those labels, they tell you real quick, overuse of this stuff could lead to bleeding, stroke, or heart attack. And I could witness the two of those. I found out angina is really nothing more than a really slow, long-lasting heart attack.
You know what I'm going to try to sell you on right now?
Okay.
There is a compound that's found in the skins of grapes, and the darker the grapes, the more of it is concentrated. It's called resveratrol.
Yep.
if you take resveratrol in therapeutic amounts every single day, I bet you'll tell me in no time that your heart feels better, your blood's getting smoother to that area.
Okay.
But also, some of your pain will start to diminish and go away.
I've learned not to have a bad. And pencil when I talk to you.
Well,
so spell that, please.
Okay, I'm gonna write it out and then phonically spell it. Resveratrol. Resveratrol. The S almost sounds like a Z, but you can get that at nutritional supplement. But I'm just as serious as I can be when I say this. I want to help you get out of this horrible, horrific pain that you're in.
Well, we've taken some steps on that. Let me hit you with another real quick one here. The coughing up the blood is a constant. I found we hit a clinic, and it's extremely rare for a physician to prescribe any kind of opioid or major painkiller, but he gave me a week's worth of Tramadol.
Well, that's allowed me to. That's what the stuff is for, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, it gave me a break from the ibuprofen.
Boy, did you need one.
Well, I'm telling you what, you know, help me sleep and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, after a couple of weeks, what do you do when that stuff runs out? You know, eventually, well, if I filled up a coffee can full of blood.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not bragging at all.
You're just stating the facts.
Well, anyway, that was the first time. Well, I overdosed again about a month ago, and went down to the emergency room here, and he gave me 3 days worth of stuff, and they set me up for the clinic. And so I'm wondering if there's any kind of a food or something that you know, I thought I'd hit it with honey. Well, honey doesn't facilitate clots. And then I thought, well, how about salt? I know that's a cleanser, and that doesn't facilitate clots. And then with some of my reading,
you want a flower called yarrow,
okay.
Y-A-R-R-O-W, yarrow.
And what does that do?
It'll stop you from bleeding.
Okay, so what?
I've used it on my own kids. I had a son. Well, maybe I should be careful how I say this. No, it doesn't matter. He was young at the time. He pulls this huge box on top of him, and the corner of the box, which is made of wood, hits his foot, and I mean, it was a gusher. And the blood is, nothing is stopping it. And so I said, oh, I'll just take a capsule of Euro and dump on top of it, and instantaneously the bleeding stopped.
Okay, well, that's external bleeding. I'm talking internal.
That's what I meant. I meant to take Euro internally.
God.
Yeah. I'm not saying sprinkle it over the flanks of your kidneys. I'm talking about taking it internally.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
I didn't give you an example to relate to. Please forgive me for that. But, and, you know, run this by your doctor first to make sure it's okay with them, because, you know, they're the ones that are experts at stopping bleeding from the kidneys from ibuprofen overdose, not me. But if you want to take yarrow internally, then just see if all your bleeding stops. But you got to give your kidneys a rest.
Okay, so that's good.
I'm going to have you just eat salads, and your dessert's going to be blueberries.
Well, I can handle that, huh?
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Just,
that was a
yeah, yeah,
that
just,
was a primary thing.
Good. Well, then take yarrow, and it'll stop bleeding.
Okay, let me hit you with one more, and then I'm going to let you go. And it's kind of humbling.
It is.
Well, I'll tell you, in ministry, I went bust two or three times, and the Lord said, well, we're going to have you do more with less. So I took a retirement a few years ago. And so it's like when I went into the clinic, I told them flat out, after I paid them X amount of dollars for 5 minutes worth with the doctor, I said, there's no insurance and there's no money. Because I'll tell you what, when the government came out and said, here's this insurance or we're going to put the whip to you,
yeah,
I said, well, put the whip to me. I ain't gonna let you force me into that kind of stuff. And when I looked at the pricing, the stuff that used to cost me $300 or $400 was running me close to $800 with about four times the deductible
And which means there's no insurance at all.
No insurance at all, no money. So I got I put the process in motion to get into the state has some financial help for this kind of indigent type of thing. And Monday I'm going to find out if I'm in it or not. I've already dealt with one of the primary.
Well, I hope you get it.
One of the, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said I hope you get it.
Well, me too. Because I'll tell you what my thoughts are that if I don't get it. I mean, the guy's already told me what he's going to do, and he's supposed to be one of the best bone surgeons in East Texas. So my thoughts are that if for some reason I don't get it, then what can I do from a chiropractor stance to...
I have zero ideas about that because, number one, I haven't examined you. I don't know the extent of your injuries. For all I know,
right.
Your bulge is so significant, but... I'm going to stand behind what I told you earlier. If you will, by faith or through faith, start taking therapeutic amounts of that substance called resveratrol, and just make it, and what you want to do is just eat as lightly as possible, salads and blueberries or fruit. If you'll just stick with that, let's just see if you're in a better place. Now, if I were here at the house, what I would do is I would kidnap you at gunpoint. I'm joking about that. And I would drag you outside, and I'd lay a blanket on the ground, and I'd put you down on the ground all day long.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I tend to believe in that stuff too. I do.
Well,
okay. Well,
if you could start, I don't know if you have a smartphone where you have access to the internet.
Yep.
If you did, you could go on YouTube and you could type in, "What do I do for severe sciatic pain?" and you could see 1,000 different videos on how to do very specific exercises and stretches.
Some
of them are very, very effective. And, of course, it's one of those things you got to kind of see them to say, oh, now I know how to do it.
Okay.
But that's always what I think of. So if you'll try those things, let me know how it works out.
Okay, real quick here. Randy, about a year ago, he gave me your office number.
Who's Randy?
I don't have it anymore. The guy that runs the guy that runs the station.
Oh, let me think. Do I know him? Yeah, I think I do know him.
Yeah, I think you must.
Yeah. But anyway, I am really rooting for you. Hang in there. Do these things on faith, and let's see what happens, all right?
All right, Doctor. I'll let you go. Thank you, Dr.
Okay.
Morgan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm rooting for you, buddy. Bye-bye. That would literally... ring a person inside out having pain that doesn't resolve. I'm so sorry. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well after listening to that gentleman, for sure.
Do you know who I have been studying this week? A gentleman by the name of Job. It's three letters, J-O-B. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yes, sir, I have.
It says, God said when he spoke to Satan that there's no one else like him. Do you believe that?
If God said it, I believe it.
Anyway, how can I help you, buddy? Did I get you distracted now? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, you did, but I'm smiling, Dr. Walter.
Okay, good.
I love you. I've got problems with I don't know what it is. My mouth is inflamed. It's red, irritated all the way around. It's itching. I don't know. I looked up.
Is there any chance you've got a problem with the tooth?
No, not that I know.
Because the infection of the teeth and the gums can do that. How long has it been this way?
Quite a while. It ended and then it came back, and I thought it was the alcohol.
Okay, well, that could do it also.
Well, I quit drinking, so, you know.
Well, I'm proud of you. I really am. But in the meantime, your mouth is it burning at all, or is it just in pain?
No, it's burning.
Burning?
It's and burning, yes, sir. And it's red, irritated. I'm taking some homeopathic that I got at Grand Reef.
Is it working?
Candida. I just started yesterday. Candida alba.
Do you have any I know this sounds crude, and it's breakfast time. I'm sorry. Does it look like cod cheese is forming on your tongue?
A little bit.
Have you had any drugs as far as antibiotics in the last 6 weeks?
No, sir, I haven't. But could this be a side effect of prednisone?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's called a drug.
Exactly. But
it's not an antibiotic, though. I'm sorry. Yeah, but you're right. Have you had some prednisone?
Oh, I had that quite a bit of it, about a year and a half, 2 years. And I'm just wondering if this is one of the...
Prednisone definitely weakens the body where it makes it more vulnerable to yeast overgrowth. But I guess the question is, what do we do about the situation now that it's going on? What can we do to strengthen you to help your body turn the corner and rebuild these tissues and get rid of the inflammation? So that's probably what we need to focus on. So let me give you several ideas, okay?
Yes, sir.
If you wanted to, you could just take, and this is like the oldest old-fashioned toothpaste of all time. It's just baking soda and hydrogen peroxide. That's all it is. So if you want to try gently brushing your teeth and your gums with a spoonful of baking soda, and you're just adding 3% hydrogen peroxide to it, just gently rinse that around your mouth and see if that gives you any relief. If that starts to give you relief, then there may be some irritation around your gum line, even maybe a low-grade infection that's kind of driving this inflammation.
So I'm using the pulling off sesame seed oil pretty regularly.
I think that's smart.
And
if we were to examine your gum line, if I find any that are very red and inflamed, that's probably what I would jump on first, because that's like the gateway to mouth problems. So if you just try just a little bit of baking soda and a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, you can let me know if your tide starts to turn for the better pretty quick here.
How do you mix that? Just mix it up in a paste?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You got it. Yeah, you got it.
I take baking soda on a nightly basis, about half a teaspoon.
Well, you're just gently scrubbing your...
I take it internally.
Exactly. Now, I knew that's what you meant, to try to help your kidneys and your blood and you know, make your body not overly acidic
but,
and more
alkaline. That couldn't be causing this irritation, correct?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying if you were just to gently rub your teeth, even if you just had a finger where you rub some baking soda and hydrogen peroxide on it, 3% hydrogen peroxide, just see if maybe that starts to calm it down and get rid of the inflammation. I mean, you have to understand hydrogen peroxide is kind of a reactive molecule or an unstable molecule. If I asked you, what is H2O, what would you tell me?
It's water.
Exactly. Hydrogen peroxide is H2O2. And so it has that extra oxygen molecule that's very reactive. So if you could imagine having a dog walk up to your front porch, your dog, and you look at its paw and it's looking at it because it's like full of pus and there's like, I don't know, a thorn or a thistle or ant bites or whatever, but he's looking at it because it's swollen, inflamed, infected. What would you do to it? You could pour hydrogen peroxide. And what would happen when you pour hydrogen peroxide over that dog's paw? What would it look like when you pour the hydrogen peroxide on the sore?
Oh, it'd be fizzing.
Exactly. That's oxygen right there.
Right.
And so oxygen is probably one of the greatest healing agents that I know of in all the universe. And so when you apply the hydrogen peroxide to your gums, you're applying oxygen.
What if you swallowed hydrogen peroxide?
I would probably have to come to the emergency room and tell the nurse to give you CPR and mouth-to-mouth. It would be so bad. I'm joking. It wouldn't do that at all. Nothing would happen other than just you would taste the hydrogen peroxide. There's no side effects. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Aren't I the worst doctor of all time?
Yeah.
That didn't
happen to me, but I did swallow some.
But what happened when you swallowed some?
It wasn't fun.
Well, how much did you actually swallow?
I was probably about a teaspoon, I guess.
Well, there's definitely a tolerance to it. I mean, a lot of people, when they swallow something accidentally, they'll say that that's the worst that their poop ever smells. And I'm thinking, well, that's because it neutralized a whole bunch of toxins. I was reading in a textbook, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but some of the experiments done back in the 50s or 60s, they would take people that had horrible, horrible allergies, and of course, just kind of play along with me like this makes sense. I know you don't and I don't, but there's some people, if they come in contact with a peanut, oh my word, they could go in anaphylactic shock and they could die.
I've been eating peanuts quite a bit.
Well, my point was they would give people hydrogen peroxide with severe allergies, and all of a sudden these allergies would start to disappear and go away, and I'm thinking to myself, really? That's a whole... You know what a bottle of hydrogen peroxide costs when you go to the store? A 16-ounce bottle is like 50 to 60 cents tops. That is it. You can't even buy a bottle of water at a convenience store for 50 cents. Well, not the ones that I stop at, anyway.
No, right.
Although there is a water that I'm quite fond of. It's called Topo Chico. But that's like $1.50. So you could try that right there, but any time that your mouth becomes very red and inflamed, that tells me something is really, really irritating your upper digestive tract. And so
it'd be my dentures.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Years ago, they found that the maker, what was it, Polydent, they put way, way, way too much zinc in their formula, and they were poisoning people with a zinc overdose. I mean, I know you know that zinc is essential to life, but it's like anything else. If you get too much water, you die. If you get too much iron, you die.
Maybe I got a tube of bad Polygrip.
Well, why don't you just give yourself a break from all that stuff?
I'm not using it. No, I don't use it anymore.
Well, just take the dentures out for the entire day.
Oh, yeah.
And just sip on things like ginger tea or dandelion tea or slippery elm or marshmallow root. And that'll help soothe all those inflamed membranes, calm them down.
I bought a box of each 2 weeks ago when I heard you talking about it, because I listened to you quite a bit, Dr. Morgan.
Have you opened the box and dipped the bag in a cup of hot water?
Oh, gosh, yes. I drank it last night before I went to bed.
I was really just trying to make a joke there, because I knew you had.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's either that or...
You're swifter than I am. So
No. It's either that or I was trying to test and probe you to see if you've actually used it.
Well, Doctor, I do what you say, for sure.
Really? So if I tell you to start swishing around some hydrogen peroxide, you'll do it?
I'm going to go do it immediately.
You mean as if just as soon as you get off the phone, you'll do it?
I sure will.
Okay. We'll find out what happens. Now, if I get a call from the emergency room in Gilmer, I'll know that I made a big mistake.
No, I won't be in Gilmer.
Why? That's the finest ER in all of East Texas.
Okay.
Listen, I'm rooting for you very, very much. I want you to exceedingly do well, but just be very good to yourself and give your gums a break from the dentures and whatever adhesive that you use to help them to...
I have been doing that, but I've still got this, but I will give them more of a break.
Well, I'm really proud of you for taking steps to improve yourself. You're a good man.
And my friend is going to call you, I pray, because he's on that ibuprofen that you were talking about a while ago.
Did you hear the story of that poor man? He started just passing a coffee can full of blood after taking ibuprofen. That's horrible.
I'm going to tell my friend about that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call him this morning.
Well, good. You're a good friend, Jerry.
God bless you, Dr.
All right, take care, buddy. Bye bye.
Good day.
The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Thank you very much for your phone call. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good.
I'm pretty fine. I have a problem. I had I think mega doses of antibiotic about a month ago. Mm. And since then, when I would go to the bathroom, my stools would be dark, dark, dark green.
Oh,
and
boy.
I Googled that, and it said that antibiotics could cause that because it does something to your stomach.
Well, I was going to say the liver, but yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, well, what is there anything I can take or do to overcome that?
Yeah, I can tell. I'll tell you what I think is very, very gentle, that works like a champ. There's an herb called milk thistle. Sometimes it's called Silymarin. That's very, very safe for you to take. I think in all the years that I've used it, I don't think I've ever had one person give me a complaint on milk thistle, which is kind of remarkable. Now, I have some other stuff that I use that I get lots of complaints on because it tastes horrible. Usually, women call me and they say, are you sure no one has died from taking this because it tastes that bad? I'm going, well, but it works. And so the other thing that I would have you do, it's very gentle just to consume 3-4 cups of dandelion tea every single day. And the other thing that I would do that would help turn this, so you've got the herb called milk thistle. Sometimes it's called Silymarin. And you've got dandelion root tea. That's very easy to come by. That's one of the reasons why I'm saying it, because it's cheap. You can get your hands on it. Even if you were somewhere where you didn't have access to natural health care, like if you were like maybe an inmate, what you could do is you pick the dandelion roots out there in the field if you're out working and just chew them up and swallow them.
I better get to a store because I don't know what dandelion looks like.
I know. I was just kind of throwing that there for other people listening. So, yeah, you can get dandelion root tea. It's very easy to come by. But if you'll start sipping on that. The other thing that I like I know this sounds nutty, but any time that you've had an injury from a drug, I like using a mushroom powder called chaga mushroom. And see, the easiest way to make this work is just to brew a cup of dandelion tea with hot water. And when you're ready to drink it, or right before you're ready, just take like a small little bitty spoonful of the chaga powder that's been finely ground up, and you can put it in there.
How do you spell that?
C-H-A-G-A.
C-H-A-G-A.
Chaga. See, I know from your accent, you're from deep, deep East Texas. You were going to call it chaga.
telling what I call it.
Oh, I probably have mispronounced every herb you can think of, but it's called chaga or shaga.
Okay.
And if you add that, but what I would do also, and this is just me talking, this is my belief, I would take just a little bit of raw honey, and if you give the tea a good flavor, if you'll sip on that a couple times a day, I think you're going to have just a most remarkable healing. And one of the reasons why I said the chaga is I was reading an article the other day. Do you remember which country that nuclear reactor melted down? It was the Chernobyl reactor?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was in the Ukraine, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's one of the parts of the world where this chaga mushroom grows, on birch trees. But what they were saying in this article was, this is the rare substance that absorbs radiation. If a person's been if a person or human being has been exposed to excessive radioactive waste or radiation, the chaga mushroom soaks it up. And when I read that, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is powerful stuff if it soaks up radiation. If you were exposed to a nuclear reactor that melted down, what would I tell you to do? Chaga mushrooms, right?
Okay.
Okay, so if you'll do those, that will help your body get through this, but it'll help your liver, it'll help clean your blood. You will tell me that you have more oxygen, which is always a win. Okay. Anytime that you have more oxygen, you're better place.
Do I take the milk thistle like states on the bottle, or what?
Yes.
How is that taken?
Just follow the manufacturer's recommendation. I think that'll be very safe and very good. But the dandelion tea with a little spoonful of the chaga powder, along with some raw honey to make it taste good. And I think you'll tell me you'll be really glad you did that.
Okay.
You'll make me look like a genius.
Well, I know you are, so this will just put the seal on it.
Oh, yes, totally. And just think, what I've told you will absorb all the radiation in your body.
Good. Okay. Well, I must go to work, and I appreciate the information.
You have a good day at work, young lady. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio at 903-586-5257, I'd be happy to take your phone call. There is a phone line officially open. Anyway, I think you knew what my point was. I'm not trying to overstate what it's effective for doing, but, you know, even if you were to do a literature search today and say to yourself, okay, what can I do that would negate the harmful effects of radiation? Well, chaga. That's just so interesting. That may come in handy for you. Good morning. How are you today?
Yeah, hey, Dr. Morgan. How you doing? I just got a letter back from my doctor. He took my blood, and he's got my cholesterol level. He said that my total number is 263, and it was high, and he said that my LDL cholesterol is 183.
What is your HDL?
HDL, oh,
well, that's one called the high-density lipoprotein.
It looks like it's 49.
Okay. Did he measure triglycerides?
Yeah, he did. It's here. It's 163.
Okay. What is the, did they do one called VLDL that stands for very low?
No, they don't. They don't do that. When I had them do that for me a long time ago, they don't. They don't normally do that.
Is there any possibility that you might be consuming a little bit more sugar than what you should?
Yes, I have been.
Okay. Well, that's if I take the number 163 and I divide that by 49. This just tells me your body is getting a little bit closer toward developing diabetes, and I don't want that to happen.
Right.
So if you just focus on eating meat and vegetables and kind of lay off the grains and the sugar for a while, there's a good chance that your cholesterol just may drop naturally on its own.
Okay, yeah, I have been eating a lot more sugar lately.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to criticize you. I mean, sugar tastes good, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, okay.
So the other article that I read about the chaga, they showed specifically that it helped lower cholesterol. Now, the reason I'm saying that is not because I'm trying to give you like an anti-cholesterol remedy. It's because cholesterol, in my opinion, is a very great beneficial molecule produced by the body or found in food. Like if you have eggs or chicken or beef. I don't think cholesterol is bad, to be honest with you. I think cholesterol increases when your body is trying to repair something. And so when your body is a little bit healthier, I don't mean this in a bad way, or in better repair, that's when I see the cholesterol come down. But I think when your triglycerides are 163, your blood's starting to get pretty thick and gunked up with some triglycerides, so we need to get those lower. The word tri means three, and glycerides refers to three sugar molecules, so you're probably eating a little bit too much sugar.
Okay. And so is there something I'm supposed to be doing or taking that will help get that down faster?
Well, I always think that one of the main minerals that your body requires when triglycerides are elevated is probably going to be zinc.
Okay, I got some of that here.
The other thing that's been shown to be helpful, by the way, triglycerides, that's the only stored form of fat in the human body, I mean, besides brown fat. So when triglycerides go up, it makes it easier for your body to become congested with too much gunky fat. And so fish oil has been shown to be beneficial.
Okay. Okay, fish oil. Okay, the zinc I got is 50 milligrams.
I would take that only with food just to make sure it's easy on your gut and it's absorbed well.
Okay. Fish oil. What's a good fish oil?
Well, this is kind of a radical way to think of it, but if you had an old, have you seen those styrofoam coolers that you can buy for a couple bucks if you were going to go to the park and you forgot yours?
Yes.
Well, sometimes researchers will say, we're trying to figure out if this fish oil is actually good stuff or not. And so what they would do is they'd take that gel cap and break it open and just dump it right on top of a styrofoam ice chest.
Okay.
Not a plastic one, but a styrofoam one.
Okay.
And so if you wake up in the morning and you say, oh my goodness, it looks like something's eating a hole in the styrofoam, that's a bad fish oil right there.
Okay.
But if the fish oil maintains its lipophilic colloidal suspension and just stays suspended on top of the styrofoam, that's usually a good one. Or another way of doing it is, if you took two brands of fish oil and you said, hey, I'm going to put these in the freezer overnight and see what happens. If it starts to get milky and freezes hard, you know it's bad fish oil. Because basically, if we go to the Arctic Ocean, I really don't know if there's an ocean called the Arctic Ocean. I'm just saying that like it makes sense. Just an ocean, it's where it's really, really cold. Because that's what fish oil is. It's like antifreeze to keep fish from seizing up. I watched a video the other day on YouTube, about a month ago. This polar bear, he finds out there's a seal that's on top of this little bitty iceberg. And he swims with barely his nose and eyes above the water for about 1 mile to sneak up on him. And I can see in the video how this polar bear is getting closer and closer. And he gets on the edge of this floating ice drift where the seal is. And as soon as he starts to climb up, the seal takes off. This polar bear jumps and dives into the water after him. And I'm going, oh, no, there's no way he got that seal. But about 20 or 30 seconds later, he comes up with the seal going, oh, my word. But I would say that polar bear is getting a good dose of fish oil, because I think that's what seals eat. They like to eat fish and penguins, don't they?
Right.
Uh-huh. The penguins definitely eat fish, so you're getting the fish oil that way. Okay. I'm not recommending for you to eat penguins, but if you put the fish oil in the freezer and it still remains clear and liquid, that's usually high quality. But if it starts to freeze up on you like a block of ice, that's no good.
Okay.
Or the third way that, I'm sorry, I'm giving you one more, forgive me. Okay. If you burp it and belch it, that's usually when the oil's rancid, and that's no good either.
Okay.
So you get what you pay for. So get a very high quality fish oil, and that will help these blood lipids. That's going to help improve you.
Okay. They gave me this stuff, Symbastion.
Well, I know they did, but let me just describe that. If you take that drug, you're going to develop diabetes eventually. And I think the study, I know that I'm not being fair the way I'm wording this, because the studies show that if you take Simvastatin for 7 years, you're going to have diabetes. Now, to me, you sound like you're a very, very young man. Am I right about that?
64.
Well, I was close. I mean, you're young enough, right?
Okay.
Do you want to develop diabetes?
No, absolutely.
That was a rhetorical dumb question.
Absolutely.
So, when you take a drug like that, most likely what's going to happen is your heart's going to get weaker and you're going to start losing energy. And that's one thing we can't have. We need to have you as vibrant and energetic as humanly possible, right?
Right.
I mean, you've got things that God wants you to do, and you want to be able to have the strength to do them. And you've only got this one life to live, so you want to make the best of it. So if you would try simple things first, like walking every single day for exercise,
okay,
laying off the sugar, mm-hmm, trying to eat more vegetables, I think you'll tell me between that zinc and fish oil, you'll go back to the doctor and he'll say, I am so proud of you, that Simvastatin worked. And you're going to say, what Simvastatin? This is called walking, eating less sugar, taking zinc and fish oil.
Okay. What, as far as zinc, is it any kind of zinc okay, or is there a special zinc that you,
well,
need?
You're trying to get a high quality zinc and you get what you pay for. So you're looking for either an amino acid chelate. Okay. It'll say that.
Okay, that's what it says on this bottle. It,
oh, yeah,
says amino acid chelate with pumpkin seed.
Oh, no. Did they try to put something natural in there? That sounds pretty cool. Good.
It's only cost $5.09.
Wow.
Granary, so,
oh, my goodness. That's cheap enough, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good. I mean, your body needs that. And actually, for a 64-year-old man, every man that I know of, their prostate's going to fail at some point. Right. I don't care who they are. And so when you do something like pumpkin seeds and zinc, you are trying to help your prostate function better.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you very much, and you have a great day, sir.
You too. Likewise.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The radio station is KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.